Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. One day away from the beloved NFL draft. Boy, I can't wait. Welcome into Talking with TD. Don't worry, I'm just filling in for one segment as we have a very special guest coming up here in segment one. I won't keep you waiting too much longer, so we'll go ahead and get to the show. Here is first interview with former University of Tennessee running back Dylan Sampson.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
But y'all ignored it. Your quest for fame had you distorted.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. The draft series continues to roll along as we welcome in former University of Tennessee running back Dylan Sampson. Dylan, does that still sound weird, the fact that I'm saying former University of Tennessee running back?
Yeah, it's crazy, you know. Tennessee, we actually had our spring game the other day, and just being kind of on the sideline, dressed in regular clothes while you know, everybody I played with last year kind of was, you know, dressed out, still weird.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually going to ask you about that. So you were in attendance at the Orange and White game last weekend. How does it feel just being able to go back to Knoxville, a place that you've called home for the last 3 years, and just see all your former teammates and kind of get welcome back home?
Yeah. I mean, it you know, it definitely, you know, has me – like with a sense of appreciation, you know, for all the time I spent there and all the, you know, former players I was able to play with, you know, who are, you know, older than me and kind of, you know, helped me along the way. I was able to see some of those guys and, you know, some of the people I played with last year and, you know, even the new faces that I'm still learning on the team now. You know, it's just a sense of appreciation for the program and everything that for me.
So I'm going to rewind the clock here. You're originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and you were a 3-star recruit coming out of high school. I'm sure a lot of people thought that you were going to go to LSU because, you know, you're in Baton Rouge. But you decided to go to the University of Tennessee. What made you choose to call Knoxville home?
Yeah, so, I mean, my recruiting process, like, it was a funny story because I told my mom and, like, my dad that I never commit to Tennessee just because, I mean, they was one of the first schools that offered me my sophomore year, that was under Pruitt's staff. But, you know, my recruitment with them was kind of weird. And, you know, they had their own set of problems going on at the program, you know, got in trouble with NCAA. But main thing I saw was just, you know, players getting arrested and stuff. So it's like, it's just one of the culture that I didn't, you know, want to be a part of. So, like I told my parents, it was like, I don't know where I'm going to go to school, but I'm not going to Tennessee. Like, I'll never go to Tennessee. You know, I mean, it's crazy how things work out. Coach Height recruited me at UCF, offered me that, and a week later got the job at UT, hired a new running back coach, Coach Jerry Mack, and I, you know, had to build a relationship with him. And they offered me about a week or two later, and just continued to build a relationship with them. And when I took my visit, I feel like they first demonstrated a lot of family, you know, atmosphere, but that they really wanted me to be a part of the program. You know, so I decided to go by faith and commit. You know, I really didn't know where I was going to end up playing ball. I didn't have a top 10. I didn't have graphics. I had none of that. But, you know, something in my spirit felt right to, you know, commit to Tennessee. And as far as LSU, you know, they kind of came late in my recruitment. And, you know, probably just assuming just because I'm from Baton Rouge that I jumped. But, I've been here my whole life, you know, so I kind of want to get a new experience, see something different.
And you mentioned Coach Heupel, and he seems like just such a player's coach. What was it like playing for a guy like that in college?
Yeah, you know, and for me, my, you know, my experience was great. You know, I mean, we built a great relationship. You know, he never had to worry about me. You know, I always show up on time and you know, do the right things to take the step forward and, you know, put our team in a better position. So, like, we had a certain level of trust and also expectation, you know, for the standards that we set, you know. But, I mean, he pushed me to work hard every day, but I could come to him and talk about, you know, anything, you know, whether it's football or non-football. So it was good for me.
And Dylan, you were an immediate contributor once you got to Knoxville as a freshman. You shared a backfield with guys like Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. Jabari Small actually had a stint here in Nashville with the Titans, but you shared a backfield with those guys for 2 years. And then you're kind of the main running back this past year, and you really emerged. Why was that?
Yeah. Well, first, I'm just going back to like when I first got here, you know, how things worked out. It was better than I can ask for because, you know, I was, you know, coming into a backfield where they kind of already had their established running backs. And one of the older running backs kind of like got hurt in preseason and kind of thrusted me into that third position role. You know, I kind of earned that throughout camp. But I was just looking to affect the game in any way I could. But, you know, getting those experience my freshman year, and, you know, them giving me more opportunities to, you know, affect the game my sophomore year and playing with those guys, Jay Wright and Jabari, you know, we pushed each other and I learned a lot from them. And, you know, eventually, you know, it kind of felt like, especially my sophomore year, we was all just three RB1s who rotated going in and out the game, you know. And that's a crazy feeling, you know, because it's good because, you know, whoever's in going to do their job, but, you know, you also want to be the one out there too. So I think this year, more than anything, it was just more the opportunity and just fine-tuning, you know, just small parts of my game, but opportunity more than anything.
Absolutely, and we're talking to University of Tennessee running back Dylan Sampson. Dylan, as you've been going throughout this draft process and you've been training with Exos and guys like Brent Callaway, what has this whole process been like preparing for the next level?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, people tell you all the time, like, this will be, like, the weirdest transition that, like, you'll ever make in football just because, I mean, you come right off a season and, you know, really have to immediately start training for combine, pro day, you know, interviews with teams, you know, and then kind of straight into mini camp and OTAs and preseason, you know. So it's just mentally preparing that, like, it's kind of a gauntlet, you know, and it's going to be an adjustment. You know, coming from SEC football, going to the NFL. So my main thing is just taking it day by day. You know, I went to Exos because they have a lot of, you know, it's a lot of resources, a lot of experience, you know, and it was great there. You know, anything I needed, they had it for me. And I feel like, you know, it was just a great spot to prepare me for the combine, to prepare me for everything that I had to do. But, I mean, you could only take it day by day, control what you can control, you know, at the end of the day. You just got to show, you know, all the scouts, all the GMs, all the coaches, who you are as a person. You know, the tape is already there, and, you know, that's all you can really do.
And I'm not sure how much you pay attention to what the media says, but the narrative nationally is with the Josh Heupel offense, quarterbacks like to throw the ball vertically down the field. But something that I've noticed watching Tennessee throughout the years is Josh Heupel's always had a stable running game, and especially this year. What does that say about you as a player and what you were able to contribute to the Vols this past season?
Yeah, this year was kind of different than it's been. You know, I think it was like the first time in a long time in this offense that a player at my position had to have this load, you know, whether that was just due to sharing or the ability to kind of pass the ball more. But I think it just says that, like, I fight every single game, you know, and, like, I can carry the load, and I'm strong enough too, like, willingly. Like, so mentally, I go in every game, like, willing to do whatever I need to, you know, push the needle forward and get a win, you know, for our team. Like, whatever it is, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do it. And I never put my teammates in a vulnerable position, you know, if I can't go and – like, I feel like I'll hurt somebody, risk being out there, like, I won't go. But it's going to take a lot for me to, like, get off the field.
And I've heard a lot of draft experts talk about the running backs. Your name comes up quite a bit, but not as much as I would think. So, and just kind of sitting back and from an unbiased perspective, just listening to them not talk about you as much as some of the other guys, like Ashton Jeanty and players like that, it kind of frustrates me because, you know, I've watched you play. I've seen you break all different types of SEC records, University of Tennessee records. Do you use that stuff as motivation when you're preparing for the NFL?
I mean, I really don't get into comparison. You know, at the end of the day, I'm always in battle with myself, you know, in battle with my habits, training myself to be, you know, the type of person I need to be every single day. Make sure I'm going 1%. You know, this is a deep running back class, and I enjoy being part of that class, you know, because that means nothing come in easy, you know. So at the end of the day, whoever called my name, like, they're going to be getting, you know, everything out of me, you know, and we'll just let the film speak for itself and the preparation leading up into the upcoming season.
And one thing that's really easy to notice about you is your leadership and the way that you're able to kind of galvanize a team together. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I really just think of, like, how I was raised and the influence I had around me. Like my older brothers, I'm just learned a lot from them, their mistakes, you know, things they did. But, like, one thing, they was always their own person. And, you know, I was kind of just in their back hip growing up. And I feel like that's just who we are in our family. Like, we don't really follow the trends, and we are our own people, and we confident in ourselves, you know. And I was, you know, my foundation is to, one, you know, treat everybody right, treat everybody respect. You know, at the end of the day, I can't control how people treat me, but I control how I'm going about my life, you know, and that's all I try to do, is leave a positive footprint, you know, anytime I get a chance to interact with somebody, you know, even on my worst days, you know, I'm still thinking about how I can communicate better with people. But I care about people, I care about people's future, but especially when it's one team, one goal, you know, you got to care about the people on the team to get to that goal.
And you mentioned your faith earlier in the interview. How does that kind of play in to your leadership style?
Yeah, I mean, my faith is really why I do all this that I do, you know. I love the game, but my faith is just bigger. You know, I've seen people close to me in my life get the game taken away from them. My brothers, you know, some of my closest friends, and it, you know, it makes you appreciate the game even more. But, you know, it almost makes you wonder, like, why am I getting, you know, the opportunity? After I've seen so many people work, you know, just as hard as me to be at the level that I'm at, you know, so I assume that it was a lesson for me to learn with, you know, everybody there, and it's the reason that I'm here, and it's a bigger platform for me. The way I can affect people, the way I can affect this world and affect different organizations. Like, I'm here to be a positive light. So however I do that, like, this is bigger than football. And it's the reason why I can put my feet on the ground every single day, even on my worst days, and work towards this goal that we all trying to achieve.
Man, I love it. And we're talking to University of Tennessee running back Dylan Sampson. Dylan, are there any players, it could be former or current, in the NFL that you grew up trying to mimic your game after? But I know you said in the beginning that you try to be your own person, but are there any running backs that you watch in today's game that you kind of try to mimic your game after at all?
It's definitely running backs I like watching, like Alvin Kamara, Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, his burst onto the scene in these past few years. But I mean, I like Jahmyr's game when he was in college, you know. I just like finding running backs that I could kind of, you know, see myself, like, being similar to, like, whether that's body style and play, you know. Like, so I like watching AK because, you know, the way his contact balance and his vision, you know, and his receiving capabilities. Jahmyr Gibbs the same way, his vision, receiving capabilities, his speed, you know, home run ability. So it's like I get excited watching people who I could, you know, kind of see that I have similar traits to.
And it doesn't come as a shocker that you said Alvin Kamara, considering he's also a Tennessee grad like yourself. So that doesn't come as much of a surprise. But as far as the interview process, I know that it can be pretty stressful when teams call you and, you know, you go throughout this process. But this will be a two-part question. But what has that been like, and have you enjoyed that? And also, has there been any questions that have been asked by a coach or GM or whatever that have caught you off guard?
I wouldn't say nothing that's caught me off guard, really. But, like, this process for me, I mean, I think it's different for everybody, just depending on your past and everything you've been through, you know, depending on the way you kind of lived your life. Like, I pride myself on living my life right, so it's not much that they could bring up. So they literally get to know me and we talk ball, you know. So, I mean, I've been taking it day by day, and knowing that even like it may be strenuous, but like I can't have an off day because just because I've done like 10 or so meetings, like this is my first time meeting with this team, you know, and this is they're gonna be the impression of me. So I just gotta understand that, you know, they collect the information and I'm confident in myself. So I mean, it's been good, just taking it day by day.
The reason I ask is because I was talking to a prospect a couple weeks ago, and he was interviewing with a coach who had his medical history dating all the way back to middle school. So you never know what's going to happen in these interviews. So that's the reason I asked that. But what would you say, like, as far as like your impression of teams, what teams have shown the most interest in you?
Man, it's just so hard to tell because, I mean, all the meetings kind of went well. I've done a lot of Zooms. I mean, I had 30 visits at the combine, like with the Cowboys and Cowboys, the Patriots, Washington, Denver. You know, I mean, those all went well. You know, and it's really hard to tell. All the meetings have been great, and I try not to think about it so much because I've talked to people. I've talked to past teammates who got, you know, drafted by a team they never talked to, you know, but they felt like they was in contact with a couple other teams. So, you know, it's all I can do is trust that I'm giving my best self and, you know, somebody will see that.
Have you talked to the Tennessee Titans at all?
Yeah, I talked to the Titans.
Was that like a Zoom or in person?
It was a Zoom.
Okay. Cool. So, this is one of the last things I want to leave you with, but what is a team, what is an organization getting when they draft Dylan Sampson?
Yeah, I say you're always getting a great player, but, you know, just a great of a person, you know. Somebody who's going to come in from day one and you know, learn the culture of the building, you know, try to influence a positive culture, get around, you know, the vets and just, you know, learn from them the rights and the wrongs they did. You know, ways, things to do to, you know, be successful in the league. Somebody will be a pillar in the community, you know, and somebody who'll be willing to do anything, you know, to affect the team in a positive way, like whatever.
Absolutely. Dylan, really appreciate the time. One more thing. I don't know if you know this, but I was actually in attendance at the Tennessee-Kentucky game in November, and I was actually on a recruiting visit with one of the recruits. So we were sitting in that recruiting section. And when you scored a touchdown versus Kentucky, I was right smack dab in front of you when you did the Thriller dance. It was the dark mode game.
It
brought a smile to my face, man. So, man, it made me all the much more happy to talk to you today.
Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate you, Dylan. Best of luck going forward.
All right. Thank you.
This is Arden Key, and I'm talking with TD.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Sometimes we got to dig in the crates, you know what I mean, and use our contacts. So that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're bringing in one of the realest players that I've gotten the opportunity to cover. It was only 1 year, but, you know, we got safety Quandre Diggs coming on. I know you got a lot going on, so I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. You know you good with me, TD, so We knock it out. We enjoy a few minutes and enjoy a good combo.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's funny because last week I thought of you. I was in Jamaica, Queens. I went up for a Mets game. Brother, let me tell you, I got the best beef patty with cocoa bread ever. I'll tell you. I know we talked about Jamaica food a lot throughout the year, so that made you pop up in my mind.
Man, hey, it ain't nothing like it, bro. Like I say, having a Jamaican best friend in college and, you know, just kind of being around those roots. One of my other best friends from the Caribbean also. So, like, I love it. I love the Caribbean food, man.
Yeah, you already know what it is. So I want to just kind of tap in with you and to see where you are in the recovery process. I know it was a tough injury. I remember watching you go down. And you went down real slow and you grabbed at it right away and it was like, yeah, it's serious. But where are you now?
I mean, I just got my screws out last week, so I'm literally about 5 weeks from being fully cleared. So I've been, you know, running my normal run routines. I was able to do that before I got the screws out last week. So I got like another week until I can start back my normal routine. And, get back into it, and then Doc clears me before the end of May. So, you know, it's been a long process, but I mean, I've had a longer process than this one. So, I mean, I'm good. I'm good. I'll be ready to go when it's time to go.
Okay, so you're trending towards being ready training camp.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be more than cleared. I mean, I'll have the whole June, the whole July to get ready for training camp. So, I'll be good.
Got you. And then as far as the free agency process, you know, there was an abundance of safeties on the market, obviously. But how is that going for you? Is it just kind of moving along, or how would you categorize it?
I mean, for me, I ain't in no rush. You feel me? I got three young kids at the crib. I'm in the process of getting to my new house. So for me, I ain't really pushing it to get something done right now. We do got, you know, pretty good amount of interest. So teams are calling, trying to figure out what's going on. But you probably when I get cleared, you know, some will shake off, you know what I mean? But you guys know me, like even last year, you know, I had been talking to Tennessee since the end of May, early June. And, you know, we didn't get nothing done in August because I feel like for me, you know, going to year 11, I've seen it all. You know, I've seen the OTAs, I've seen the training camp. So for me, I know how to get myself in the best shape possible, and I know how to get, you know, my body ready to go. So no rush for me, but we do have some interested teams that, you know, have called and asked where I'm at in my progress. And, you know, I took the slow and methodical route of getting his foot right, you know, because I had plenty of time to do it. So there's a 4 to 6 month recovery, you know, and I'm at month five. So we got about a month and a half, and I'll be good.
And we're talking to veteran safety Quandre Diggs. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's where I was going next, just as far as you've pretty much been there, seen it all, been involved in various schemes, et cetera, et cetera. How much do you think that allows you? Because I remember last year, like, you came in, and, I mean, it was just a matter of days before you're working with the first team defense. You know what I mean? So having been through all you've been through, the experience, like, how much does that allow you to hit the ground running with whatever team?
I mean, it helps a lot. You know, I mean, obviously you come in, you want to learn everybody's names and faces and know the people, because for me, that's the most important part, right, is knowing the people that you're working beside and knowing, you know, the people in the building, things like that. So I think that's the thing that ended up being the hardest transition. But as far as getting on the field and playing, I mean, I've been doing that my whole life. I've been in, you know, many schemes in the NFL, a couple schemes in college. So it's only so many ways you can play cover 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So can't be too much harder than that.
And I'll say this, you are one of the more well-liked players that I've come across. I remember in Detroit, right? I went up in the booth and I did something with Lomas Brown for their pregame show, and I mentioned you, and he lit up. And then I watched you go and shake hands with everybody like the president, you know, before the game. That relationship building, for you, like, what really has led to you just being able to just earn the respect that you have throughout the league?
I mean, I think when you do it the right way and you real and true in who you is, you know, people respect that. You know what I mean? It ain't never been anything fake or, you know, about me. I've always, you know, kind of stood on my principles. And no matter if I was a rookie, you know, year 10, I always stand on my principles. And, you know, my principles, you know, one of my base principles is definitely to show respect to everybody. You know, when I came into Tennessee last year, you know, I just wanted to earn the respect of the locker room. Obviously, guys have seen my career from afar and, you know, kind of know of me. But, you know, when you get to know me and you realize that, you know, I just want to enjoy work, enjoy playing ball, and just kind of have fun. And, you know, guys see that, and it just rubs off on people. And that's just, you know, the kind of thing that I've made my mark on. But I've also had some great mentors, you know what I mean? So anytime I can mention the Glover Quinns, the Rasheem Mathises, the Darius Slays, you know, James Ahedibo, all those guys, you know, that had a lasting effect, the Bobby Wagner, KJ Rice, all these guys had an effect on my career. So, like, I just took little things from each and every one of them and, you know, kind of tried to emulate it into my own style.
That's dope. Obviously, throughout the year, we didn't only talk about Jamaican food. We talked about your cousin, too, right? And you look at Cam Ward, the preparation, like, I've talked to Xavier Restrepo, I talked to Arroyo, some of his, like, various teammates, and they talked about the way he changed the culture in the building. They talked about his preparation. Growing up, like, did you see that? Did you see, like, the traits of you know, a master leader like that, a guy who's always prepared, et cetera?
I mean, well, I will tell you, because, I mean, I'm a little bit older than Cam, right, for sure. And, like, when he was in middle school, high school, you know, I was trying to get to the league and being in the league. So we were around each other a lot, don't get me wrong. But what I will say, he's always had leadership characteristics. You know what I mean? He's always been one of – he works hard. Even when he was a little kid playing AAU basketball, he works hard. People always followed him. He always had that, you know, he lights up a room everywhere he goes, you know, and it's not always about talking. It's just about how he carries himself. And you could see that when he was young. You could literally see that he never was going to be a follower. He's always going to be a leader. That's just kind of how he was. And he used to piss us off. He used to get on our nerves because he was bad as heck. Super bad, super active, talked a lot. But that just kind of what you know, molded him into what he is now. And even now, you know, I called him while he was streaming last night and jumped on the conversation. And all he does is talk trash, bro. Like, that's who he is. That's his, you know, personality at heart. That's the base of who he is. And that's what keeps him going, I think. And I just think, you know, just being able to see him mature from, you know, when he used to come to my games in Detroit, just to be able to see him mature into what he's in tonight, what he is today. Like, I'm hella proud.
You have a very unique perspective in that you've been in that Titans locker room and you also know your cousin so well. How do you feel he will fit into that group of guys that you just spent, you know, a bunch of time with?
I mean, I told him that I probably need to be back there if he's going to be there before some of the defensive guys beat him up for talking too much. But no, I think he'll fit in great, bro. I think it's what that locker room needs. I think when you look at your quarterback, and I've experienced it with, you know, Geno and Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford, like, when you look at your quarterback and, you know you're going to war with this guy, like, it means a lot, you know what I mean? And that's no disrespect to anybody. It's just, you know, when you look at your quarterbacks and you know what you're going to get out of them each and every day, you know, when you go, when it's time to, you know, settle down, kick the cleats off, it's time to just hang out. Like, he could do that too, you know what I mean? So I think it'd be great for them. I think the guys have probably heard enough of me talking him up all last year and me telling Jeff that he's gonna be the number one pick and Jeff not believing me that he was gonna be the number one pick, and just going back and forth, you know, with you guys in the media about him being the best quarterback in college football and things like that. So I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great, a great move for the franchise.
It's funny because Jeff recently, he did say, you would always tell him that he'll be the number one pick. That's funny you brought that up. When you look at just the path, right, zero stars, we know the story, right, Incarnate Word, Washington State, Miami, he's just continued to elevate as he's gone throughout his career. Like, I always look at things like you have to go through something in order to really appreciate where you are. And when you look right at everything that he's been through, like, how much do you think that has prepared him and driven him to be the competitor that he is?
I think it's just the natural born competitor, the natural born chip on his shoulder from, you know, having to go through all those type of things. And the way he's handled it, the way he's persevered through it all, it's been cool to see. You know what I mean? I remember having to buy ESPN Plus, just to be able to watch his games and Incarnate Word during that COVID season. Like, I remember doing that, and now, you know, it's cool for me now. And selfishly, I get to watch him, you know, on ESPN. I get to watch him on ABC and things like that during this past season. So, you know, if I could see how cool it's been, I know he's seen it. I know he's taken a step back and, you know, really admired, you know, his work. But for him, he feel like it's never over. He's always going to work. I feel like he never gets tired of working, but I think that was instilled in him from, you know, his mom, you know, Patrice, and his dad, Calvin. I think those two have showed him the blueprint, you know what I mean, of how to work. You know, you work for what you want in life, and that's what they've continued to do, and that's what he's taken on. So I think it's been really, really cool to see.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, because we talk about him starting up and what drives him, you're well into your career and you're still going. What continues to drive you?
I mean, for me, bro, I know, and I mean, everybody saw it. You know, when I played last year, I was playing at a high level.
Yeah.
And playing at a high level and playing some of my best ball and, you know, doing the things that I'm supposed to do in my job, which is eliminating deep plays, you know, getting guys down when they get back there and making the plays when it's that time. And I just feel good. You know what I mean? Like, I feel good. My body's good. I still got a drive to be the best, and I still have a drive to want to win a championship. And I think that's what's so important for me to keep going. And I mean, my story is crazy too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, going to see and being a 6th-round pick and, you know, guys, you know, doubting me, you know what I mean? I have a natural chip on my shoulder too that I want to continue to show people that, you know, all the guys that you picked in front of me, I'm going to outlast them. You know what I mean? And I'm going to play at a high level while I'm outlasting them. I'm not just going to be a guy that's just holding on to threads. So I think that's kind of what pushes me.
Yeah, and it's funny because it was always like too small, too slow, too this, too that. But then you just went out there and you did what you had to do and balled out, man. I always appreciated your game. That being said, you mentioned it. I got to ask you, is there a possibility of a reunion? You coming back to Nashville? And being here with your cousin?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. It's in the cards for sure. I've had good conversations with Mike and Chad and obviously Callie Denard. So we'll be talking. You know what I mean? Everybody wants me just to focus on getting his foot healthy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously I've showed them already that I can come in, I can pick a playbook up, and I can do all those things, and I'll be in great shape. So they don't worry about that. They just want to make sure the foot's good. I get clearance from Dr. Anderson, and it'd be time to go.
And then last thing, as you mentioned, you already shown that you could come in. You know the playbook. But Denard, as a coach, as a defensive coordinator, what would you say is the best thing that he brings to the table, and how much of an advantage is that for, you know, guys who play the game with a lot of emotion and aggressiveness?
Man, I think – it's two, you know, I mean, I think accountability is one. I mean, you know, when you go in that defensive room, you're going to be held accountable. So whatever you put on that tape is going to show, you know what I mean? I think that's the cool part about him is, like, he ain't too old and he ain't too young. So, like, he's right in that middle spot where, like, he going to tell guys the real, and he understands both sides. Obviously, you know, Greg being his mentor, so – you know, he understands that. So I think that's what's been cool. That's what was cool is, like, the accountability. But, I mean, you can't be the defensive coordinator that's going to tell you what's coming. You know what I mean? And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand is, like, you get a good defensive coordinator, a good DB coach, linebacker coach, D-line coach, and they telling you what's coming. Bro, some of those plays be so easy. And, like, it's one of the first times that I experienced that. And it just made the game fun, you know what I mean? And then you guys went and got Tony Oden, who's my, you know, my former corners coach in Detroit. So, like, for me, like, I just know the coaching staff is legit, and being around Denard was just fun, you know? We clicked. We never had really had a relationship before that, but, like, we clicked, and we understood each other, and he held me accountable like I asked him to.
Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, y'all need to go ahead and make that happen, but we just going to get off on that note. Q, I appreciate you coming on, man. Always good to talk shop with you, man. Hopefully you do end up back here and you're here with your cousin and we can see a lot of success.
Yes, sir, and a lot of trash talking between me and him.
All right, for sure. Happy birthday to your little ones.
All right, appreciate that, my dog.
All right, my guy. I'll holler.
Yep.
This is Will Levis, and I'm talking with TD.
So I know you train both Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Obviously, you know, we're going to focus on Cam because that's the direction the Titans are going. I'm just curious about the preparation. Like, what are some of the things that really stood out to you right away as far as how he prepares to do what he has to do?
Yeah, man, I think going through this draft process, I've, of course, been knowing, you know, how he does stuff throughout the season, you know, just talking throughout it and talking through him daily throughout the season. But being able to go through draft prep with him for literally about three, 4 months almost. So being able to go through that with him, it's been a different view for me. Man, I think one of the best things that I've been able to see from him is just how he goes to work every day. Man, he's literally, we've been doing the draft prep stuff. It gets repetitive with, you know, all the lifting and the throwing and then the PT and the meetings, all that stuff. After about week three, it get a little repetitive. So it's kind of like fall camp, you know, people may get tired of it and get tired of doing it, man. But one thing that I can say about camp, literally, man, the entire time we've been doing it up until we just got done working today, his attitude and the way he approaches it is the same every day. It's not like, I'm tired today. You know, nah, none of that. It's, when he walks in, he got the smile on his face, laughing, playing around, you know, speaking to everybody. Like, he's been the same guy this entire process. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I've been able to see from him about how he goes about it. It's not fake, because at some point, you can fake it about a week or two, but so you get to 6 weeks, you get to 8 weeks, and the fake can go out the window. You ain't got too much left in you. So to see just how he goes about it, and the same person, ready to work hard every time. Like, it's not a, you know, it's not a never skipping reps, no matter how tired or sore he is, man. That's just who he is. So, you know, just being able to prepare, see that side of his preparation going into, you know, didn't know if he was going to throw at the combine. And then when we decided that he wasn't going into the preparation for the pro day, man, it was something to see for sure.
Now, you've played, you know, you played quarterback. You know what it's like to have 10 guys just kind of feed off of your energy. So let me ask you this. You mentioned the consistency, right, and being authentic. How important is that as far as to the guys who you're looking at in the huddle and you're giving them the play call?
It's huge, man. No matter how much you're down or what type of team you have, if they believe in a guy that's taking a snap every play, sure, you got a chance. And I think it speaks a lot about, you know, him being able to go into three different programs, UIW, Wazoo, and then Miami, and literally take over the program, especially doing it at Miami in January and took over the team for spring ball and going in the fall and going to have the year that they had. Like, everybody in that building believed in Cam Ward. They believe that if we get Cam Ward, as long as we got Cam Ward upright, we got a chance to win. So, man, even it was something to see, and it's, I feel like, said a lot. Even when we went back to Miami, you know, getting ready for pro day and everything, and just how much they welcomed them. I'm talking about from the training room to all the support staff, academic advisors, of course, the coaches, all his teammates. Like, I saw him literally speak to every single teammate. If he didn't, you know, if they didn't see him, he went out his way and spoke to him. So I just think that says a lot about the type of guy that he is, the type of leader that he is, and being able to go in there and do that, do what he did in such a short period of time, and the respect that he has there, man. I think that says a lot.
Facts. And I talked to Xavier Restrepo last week, and he was like, man, I've never seen somebody come in and take over and change a building the way he did in 8 months. For you, like, as you've talked to him and kind of gone through the process, like, did you guys ever, like, go back to his days in high school and work all the way up through Miami, like, him share some of his experiences with you?
Yeah, we talked about it, man. We actually, on Monday, we're actually going back to high school. It's going to be the last workout before he goes down to Green Bay. So we're going to actually go to his high school and work out with some of the, we're going to have, you know, some of the receivers, some of their receivers at the school, let them get an opportunity, you know, work with them and all that stuff. Now I've heard some stories from him, you know, of course, all his sports stories are basketball, because he just feel like he's a freaking hooper at heart. That he could have, if he wasn't doing this, he feel like he'd be getting ready for the NBA draft, or he'd already be in the NBA. So it's just a lot of those type of stories, man. Just, you know, West Columbia is a small town, so everybody knew his mom, and he knew his dad, so he couldn't really do much. He ain't had an opportunity to get in trouble because he knew what came with it.
Right.
So I know even going up there, that's what I'm looking forward to, going up there Monday. That'll be my first time there at the school. So just to, you know, walk around the halls and, you know, everybody gets to reminiscing a little bit. So I know I'll hear some more stories then, man. When I met him at UIW, just his path and just the way he, you know, the way he was grinding, the way he was so locked in, man, I still see that same hunger in his eye now. Like, it hasn't changed at all. Like, you know, our relationship has grown, of course. So, you know, he's way more relaxed with me and things like that. But when we get out, we walk out that building, or we get done, we're warming up or whatever, and when it's time to pick up a football, that hunger just, it clicks. You know, that look in his eye is back, you know. So he had that same look in his eye of, you know, getting to this point. And I can tell you, man, this is a kid who's literally, since I've known him, has always believed that he would be in this situation. Like, it's not just, you know, oh, yeah, that's a goal. Like, he believed it. Like, I said it the other day. I was like, man, you, what'd I say? I told him, I was like, yeah, shoot, good thing you came out this year. He was like, shoot, I would have went no later than 10 last year. I was like, yeah, all right. You know, like, but he honestly believes that, you know, just especially how it ended up playing out with, you know, with the Falcons taking Penix and all that type of stuff. He felt like, you know, what he's able to do and all that type of stuff, that he would have got the opportunity to, you know, be in this position last year. So that's just who he is, man.
Yeah, a lot of times I get asked, like, where would I put him as far as within, and even Shador, too, within the last 2 years. And I always say, like, I have them above, you know, a lot of guys that were selected in the first round. But that belief that you mentioned, I mean, is that what you think has been the prevailing fuel for him to go from a zero star? And even, like, you know, he got to UIW, and he's like, yo, I'm going to beat that starter out, and ended up doing that. Like, you think it was the belief that made him just be able to have that elevation to the number one pick from a zero star recruit?
100%. I think the belief in himself, man, is taking him a long way, you know, with, you know, he's seen, you know, and I think just the hunger to want to make his parents proud for, you know, all the sacrifices that they made for him. He talks about that a good bit, you know, his dad taking him to all these different places, emailing all these people, all that type of stuff. So just wanting to do that. And then, man, I think it's the aspect of him even being a zero star recruit, man. He went to those camps and was like, bro, these people can't throw me at all. And I just don't see it for whatever reason, you know, because of, well, the reason was he was in triple option, but the wing tee, but, you know, they still didn't see it. So his thing is, you know, just showing people that, like, man, I've been this guy. That's why he's a guy who doesn't, you know, he doesn't listen to all the pats on the backs, all the claps. He just feel like it should have been like that. You know, so he doesn't get caught up in that stuff at all. So I think he's the guy who, anything he can do, anything that he does, he feels like he's the best in it. He believes in himself, and, you know, for him, it's like, man, I'm the only person I need to believe in myself. And then I'm just, you know, blessed enough to have two other people, which are his parents, who believe in him, and that's all he needs. He feels like he can make everything else happen. Because, you know, the work ethic that he has is close to none.
What's he like in the classroom?
Oh, man, he's a gym rat. Man, he does a great job of asking questions. And he has a great football mind. So when I say great football mind, man, it's hard for a lot of guys to, you know, maybe watch film and be able to really understand what people are doing, really understand what you're looking at, how would you attack it, different things. He does a great job of understanding what people are doing, what he would do. Like, man, he literally every single play that we get to watch a film, is like, man, you see that? Pause it right there. Man, you see that space right there? All you got to do is run switch, blah, blah, blah. Like, he got a whole plan for it. Slide the protection this way. Like, that's him. Like, that's just how his mind thinks. His mind is always thinking. He was watching a UFL game the other day. And he called me. He was like, you watching this game? Man, you saw when the safety, they had the three-high look, and then they rolled. All it is cover three. You know, that's just how he's always watching. He's always trying to learn. He's especially going into, you know, the next level is completely different, but it's still football, you know. So he's getting himself familiar with it. He watches a lot of ball. Like, man, I'm telling you, during the season, we would talk like every day or every other day. You know, we call him on FaceTime, we call each other on FaceTime. If he watching, if it was like Monday Night Football, he watching the game, his iPad was right next to him. He, Darren, look at this. And you see how these corners playing? I'm telling you, I'm going to switch vert him.
long as they keep doing this, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just how he is. That's just the way that he thinks. And his understanding of the game is top tier. I think he spent, even once he got to Miami, he spent so much time with Coach Dawson. He's not a guy who you gotta, you know, he doesn't want to spend as much time. Like, that's all he does is football, football, football. He wants to know, especially going into the next level, he's watched so much film. It's been crazy.
Yeah, you mentioned Coach Dawson. I love the fact that he got to work with him, work with Eric Morris. You know, these are guys, QB-friendly offenses, and he seemed to take real advantage of that. Working with Brian Callahan, you know, he's spoken very highly of him about what Callahan did with Joe Burrow, et cetera, et cetera. What makes you think that marriage will work?
I think it will. Like you said, exactly what you just said about, you know, him working with Joe Burrow and the success that they've had. So getting a gunslinger, you know, that's what they end up going with, getting a gunslinger like Cam, man, I think that's going to, and a guy who understands it, I think it's very different. I think, man, Joe might be one of the first guys I can think of that was in college for 4 years, I think, that, you know, that finished up and had really good success. I think guys who just play so much football, you know, it's kind of, you know, they've seen a lot. Of course, you know, because most guys who are top picks, you know, you get 2 years or maybe 1 year playing ball. And you come out, you know, coming out there redshirt sophomore year. But this guy's played 5 football seasons. So he's played a lot of ball regardless of or seen a lot of football regardless of what level it's been at. So he's seen it. He's a guy who's seen it. And I think, you know, just even from his conversations, you know, Cam's a very honest guy. So he's going to tell you what he likes, what he doesn't like. And I think that can always be a benefit. It's something that works really well for an offensive-minded coach, you know, because you see what your guy's comfortable with, see what he isn't comfortable with. I just think that makes it so much easier for him as a play caller. So I think that's going to work really well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a meeting you got to have at the beginning of each week. Okay, what do you want up this week? What do you want down, et cetera? So I'm glad you mentioned.
Yeah, and you see so many people, man, just sitting in the quarterback rooms. You see so many people in those meetings. You know, you don't want to ever seem like, for, you know, whatever reason, people, it might be a play that you like, not comfortable with at all, but the coach might like it. So you're like, yeah, yeah, coach, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? And then it ended up getting called and you didn't like it. And now you patting the ball and then, now you end up getting sacked or you end up making a mistake. And I feel like that's a guy who, you know, if he doesn't like it, he's not comfortable with it. Nah, coach, I don't like that this week. You know, and I think even just saying that statement or being able to, you know, express that, I think that takes everything I know that's a small thing, but I think that takes everything to the next level for sure.
Yeah. Now, as far as like the time that you've been around him, can you think of a time where, and you don't have to get too personal, but I mean, like, an adverse situation came up and how he handled it?
The one thing I can think, I mean, you think about football, you can think about Cal last year. A lot of games, but I think one of the biggest things is, you know, making the decision to go back to school. Man, like, literally, like, we talked literally every day. I sat in the same spot every day at the facility, in the same room, in the same chair, and I was pacing, get up, pace back and forth, just having this conversation. We had this conversation for about a good longer. It got really serious for about a good 2 weeks, about every single day, about, you know, trying to figure out what he was going to do. And it is so hard to tell someone who's, you know, done all the right things, and his dream is right there, and you're going to tell him, nah, man, go back to school. And, you know, at worst, he would have been, you know, a day 3 pick and would have been in the NFL right now. And so you're telling me, man, this is what I've been working for all this time, and now I need to go back to school one more year? And that's hard to tell somebody to do, you know, and at that time, it's hard to look at what could happen, man. It could be so much better for you, better situation, better team, blah, 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 all this type of stuff. But it's like, man, the opportunity is here now. Why do I need to wait another year? So, man, and then him, you know, because he said he was gone. He made the video on the couch, and he said he was gone, and it was done. And so just seeing him, and he kind of started some. He started doing draft prep and all that type of stuff. And then, you know, just weighing on his conscience, his belief in God and his faith, being able to, you know, keep praying. Like, it was literally, even when he had started training, we were still talking about it every day. It was something that was on his heart. And then, you know, he ended up just finally, you know, I think it was like second week of January, he ended up making the decision to come back. So I would say, you know, just to see how he handled that,
Because at the end of the day, you know, a lot of stuff on his mind. That's a huge decision. Right. You know, it's a life changing decision. So being able to see how he handled it, while having to still do, like I said, he was at some point he was doing draft prep for like 2 weeks. So still having to go up there and go move in and throw and start doing your regimens, all that different stuff. Just a lot of stuff that he had to go through. But I think that's one of the biggest adverse situations I've seen him go through since I've known him, and that's why we're in this position that he's in right now.
Gotcha. And then to wrap it up, you mentioned, you know, the decision. We know he wouldn't have been the number one pick last year, and that's nothing against him, but
yeah,
he's the number one pick this year. What changed to have such a drastic rise as far as a prospect?
More eyes. That's it. It's literally nothing different. It's nothing different. More eyes on him, man. Nobody was staying up to watch Wazoo play at 11 p.m. Right. Besides me. I was probably the only one staying up to watch the games. You know, nobody watched him. You only heard about him, you know, when he had a crazy play and it was, you know, buzzing on Twitter, or, you know, maybe he had a Friday night game or they was playing Oregon or, you know, something like that. And he was handling his business, but it wasn't the consistency of every single week that you was on TV, you know, big time TV at a big time game slot. So everybody just got to see it this year. And then being able to bring the U back to what it's been, you know, what everybody really knows it for, and doing that as a, you know, as they say, a one man show, even though he had really good teammates and really good ball players. But that guy really, you know, brought the U back to, you know, a little bit of what we've known in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very simple. I just think it's more eyes on him. It's like, if you look at the stats are very similar. If you look at the plays pretty much identical. Even when he was at UIW. So I think that's just the biggest thing, man. Is just more eyes on him, not knowing, you know, if he was at Miami last year and, you know, same type of year he had this year. You know, you don't know where it'll be. You know, so I think that's the biggest thing. It was just the opportunity to get more eyes on him and playing. You know, of course, playing with better guys as well.
Gotcha. And you talk about eyes real quick. You know, Select QB Athletics. That's, you know, on the rise. There's a lot more eyes on you and on your group. Who's next in line that you're working with? Who are some guys that, you know, we as the country need to be on alert about?
Yeah, man. So you got Kyron Jones, actually Cam's cousin. He's a quarterback at Virginia Tech. He missed half the season last. Got a lot of younger guys who are going to be, you know, starters at the FBS level this year. And then, you know, just with the success that these guys have been had this past season, and also, you know, all the stuff that's going on with the draft, man, there's going to be a lot of big names coming our way this summer, man. So we'll be able to continue to add to that list, man. But Kyron Jones is a good name to look out for sure.
There you have it. That was TD's interview with Daryl Colbert, who is the quarterback coach of both Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Definitely want to thank him for coming on and giving us lots of great insight on what we should know about Cam Ward. Also want to thank Quandre Diggs and Dylan Sampson and all the great draft prospects that we've had the privilege of being able to have on the show throughout this Talking with TD draft series. Make sure to stay in touch with what we have going on at Talking with TD, because the work is just beginning as we inch closer and closer to the NFL season. Please, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Talking with TD podcast so you never miss an episode. Wherever you get your fine listening materials, make sure to subscribe, rate, review, and as always, we appreciate you.